Open your scriptures with me, if you will, to 1 Chronicles, a very familiar passage of scripture, actually, that some years ago was tremendously popular in a book that came out on Jabez and the prayer of Jabez. 2 Chronicles, the fourth chapter. First Chronicles. What did I say? Okay. First Chronicles 4, verse 9. Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. His mother had named him Jabez, saying, "I gave birth to him in pain." Jabez cried out to the God of Israel, "Oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be upon me and keep me from harm so that I will be free from pain." And God granted his request. Father, we're thankful for the Scriptures, always, always thankful for the Scriptures. And we would ask, Lord, that you would speak to us in and through them to your glory. In Christ's name, amen. The grass withers, the flowers fade, but the word of our God endures forever. Young woman brought her fiancé home to meet her parents, and the father invited him into his study for a conversation. So he asked the young man, "So what are your plans?" And he said, "Well, I'm a biblical scholar." "A biblical scholar," the father said, "but how would you provide a home for my daughter?" And he replied, "I will study, God will provide." "Well, how about the engagement ring?" "I'll concentrate on my studies, God will provide." "And children," said the father. "Not to worry," the young man said. "I will study, God will provide." And the conversation proceeded like that for most of the morning. And later, the father was asked by the mother, she said, "Honey, how did it go?" And the father answered, "He has no job, he has no plans, and he thinks I'm God." For all of us, there's a comfort zone where we're most comfortable. And we call it, we're in our comfort zone. Have you noticed when you get into a crowded elevator, nobody speaks to anybody? You get busy looking down at your shoes, or you're looking at your watch, or you might be digging in your purse, and you try as hard as you can not to make eye contact with anyone. All of us have a level of comfort we enjoy. And when we're out of that zone, we get uneasy. We're unnerved by it. Some people like their houses at 75 degrees. Other people like it freezing. You go into Andy's office in the wintertime, wear a coat. Some people are comfortable in a certain pew. I know right where you are every Sunday morning. Somebody's got to have the forks in the right drawer, and the forks here, and the spoons here, and the knives over here. White towels with white towels, and red towels with red towels, and some people don't care what it looks like. They just grab the first thing they can grab, and let's eat. Let's eat. Some people like a full tank of gas. Some folks ride around on fumes and think it's okay. Some people like their house neat and clean, and other people, they'll get to it when they get to it. They determine it doesn't make no sense to make the bed. You're going to get in the bed again. All of us have a level of comfort that we enjoy. Now, that's okay in your personal life. That's okay in your professional life. But there's your spiritual life that you got to think about. Your spiritual life. Because we all need more prayer. We all need more faith. We all need more power. We all need more strength. We need God to enlarge our territories. In this prayer, in the verse 9, Jabez, the Bible says, was more honorable than his brothers. And his mother gave him a name that meant son of my pain. Think about that. You know, it kind of threw me back to that song by Johnny Cash, A Boy Named Sue. You know, many people figure we get a name like that, you're doomed from the start. You know, Jabez, son of my pain, his name meant pain. He might have been born, we don't know how all this came about and what was happening to this woman as the result of a rape. Jabez might have come at a time when she didn't want a child. Might have been a difficult time in her life. Jabez may have been born by an accident. But it doesn't matter how you get here. Every child that's born is a child of God. Every child. No child that comes into this world, according to the Bible, is an accident. It's by God's providential arrangement. Providential arrangement. Now let me say, and I don't care whether you're Republican or Democratic or how you voted, abortion is a scourge on our land. It's a scourge on our land. And you want to follow this science, follow this science. And vote the Bible. Joel, Jabez, son of my pain, in the book of Jeremiah, it's a simple thing. It says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. When Elizabeth came to Mary, Mary was pregnant with Jesus, and John was in the womb of Elizabeth. Scripture says when they came together, the child jumped in her womb. There was a recognition. That's what Scripture is saying. There's a recognition. And then Jesus says, if you touch these little ones, woe be unto you. It's better if a millstone were hung around your neck. Don't play games. Don't play games. For a Christian person, when you were in the womb, before you were in the womb, I knew you. I knew you. So I don't care what happens now. We work toward that. We work toward that. It is by God's providential arrangement that you are here today. In the pew. And God can speak into your life because you don't have to be what they call you. Jabez, pain, sorrow. All it takes is a moment with God, and God can change your circumstances. He can change your life. God can turn it around no matter what your name is or where you think you are in your life, no matter what your condition, your station in life, how you were born. If you put your hand in the hand of God, God can change your life. He can turn it around. He turned it around for Jacob. His name became Israel. He turned it around for Simon, whose name became Peter. He turned it around for Saul, whose name became Paul. It does not matter the circumstances of your birth. You were and can be born again. You can be born again. And look at the text. Jabez was the son of sorrow, the son of pain, but he had enough sense to pray. He had enough sense to pray. We know that when you pray, that God moves. When you pray, God has a predisposition to come to your rescue. When you pray right, God will hear and God will answer your prayers. Because the Bible says that after Jabez prays, look at verse 10, God granted his request. Jabez called on God of Israel, "Oh, that you would bless me, enlarge my territory." The first part of that prayer was a prayer for prosperity. Bless me, I think King James says, bless me indeed. Bless me indeed. Bless me. 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 That's not selfish. Because I can't be a blessing to somebody else unless the Lord blesses me. I want God's blessing in my life. I want that. I want God's best in my life. I want God to bless me with everything He can bless me. I want it all. I want a house. I want a car. I want shoes. I want peace of mind. I want my children to be blessed. I want my grandchildren, all 15 of them, whatever their names are. You think I'm kidding? I want my brothers and sisters to be blessed. Everything I got influence over, I want blessed. God bless this church. God bless it all. Bless it all. And when I wake in the morning, bless me when I go to lunch. Bless me with a house. Bless me with a bed to sleep in. Bless me. Enlarge my influence, my territory, so that I can bless somebody else. Now, if you don't want it, don't pray that way. Don't pray that way. But I want God to bless me. I want Him to bless me. Not, you know, on Wednesday night I was kind of playing around with the guitar. Not my sister, not my brother, but it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Bless me. Bless me. There's a time to pray for those in a hospital. There's a time to pray for those in Haiti. There's a time to pray for those in your neighborhood. But before you can get ready to be a blessing, God has to bless you. God has to bless you. And what I love about this prayer is that it is right and it's good to ask God to bring you a blessing in your life. God wants to bless you. You ever think about it? God wants, I mean, it's all through Scripture. God wants to bless you. God is by nature good, kind, generous. What's that thing we go? God is good. Absolutely. All the time, God is good. When you ask Him to bless you, He doesn't say, "Hey, don't bother me. Don't bother me." He responds with a heart that wants to bless us. Wants to bless us. It's okay to ask for things for yourself. It's okay to ask for things. Jabez says, "Bless me, enlarge my territory, let your hand be with me." All three of these are various ways of saying, "Help me, Lord. Help me to be successful. Help me to do things. I want it to be better. I want my life to be better." It's okay to ask God for a blessing. When you're in trouble, it's okay to ask God for help. You don't need to earn it. You don't need to think you have to deserve it. You simply rely on the fact that God is loving, kind, compassionate, generous, good. This is how you originally became a Christian. By understanding that you couldn't earn God's blessings in your life. That you received Him by grace as a free gift through faith. Jesus reinforces this throughout the Scriptures, again and again. In the Sermon on the Mount, speaking of the blessings that He gives us, He speaks to this in the 7th chapter of Matthew. He says, which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, you're going to give him a steak. If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? And then he goes back in the 6th chapter and says, why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow? They don't labor, they don't spin, yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor is arrayed like one of these. If that is how much God clothes and cares about the grass of the field, which is here today and gone tomorrow, will he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? So don't worry, saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, what shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things. Your heavenly Father knows that you have need of them. Jesus says, you can ask God to bless you with food, clothing, whatever. God cares. God cares. There's no request too small. There's no request that's so trivial, too selfish. You can bring your needs to God. And the book of James says, you have not because you ask not. You have not because you ask not. Bless me. Bless me. But the teaching doesn't stop there, does it? It doesn't stop there. It's linked in the book of Matthew 2, another phrase. It's linked to a following sentence. It says, bless me, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. When we read righteousness, we tend to think that something very religious, you know, very religious. But what it simply means is that the world would be the way God wants the world to be. That's all it means. Thy kingdom come, thy will be righteousness, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, the way God wants it to be. And then these other things will be given to you. It's okay to bring your request and your desires to God, but the ultimate purpose, you see, the ultimate purpose is not just our blessings. It's not just your blessings and your territory and your wants and your needs and your dreams, but God's kingdom. The kingdom of God. God's territory. The way the world should be according to God. It's good to ask God to bless you. It's good to ask God to enlarge your territory, to keep you from harm. It's even better to remember that the purpose of being blessed does not stop with you. Emily's here. Look what we're doing in missions. All the missionaries, what we give here does not stop with us. I mean, we have missionaries that we support in the budget. Doesn't stop with us. We're concerned about other people. If as God blesses us, we spread that blessing out to others. This goes back to one of the, and Tracy brought it up this morning, goes back to one of the most primal, essential passages in the whole Bible, the calling of Abraham. In Genesis chapter 12, listen to what God said to Abraham. The Lord had said to Abram, leave your country, your people, your father's household, and go to the land that I'm going to show you. Now listen, I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all the peoples of the earth will be blessed through you. So Abraham left and did as the Lord told him to do. Top line, I mean, just look at it real quick. Top line, biblically, I will bless you. Bottom line, and you will be a blessing. You will be a blessing. Bless me. Bless me. Not just so that I can say I'm blessed, but that I can be a blessing. I can be a blessing. Heal me. Not so I can just be healed, but so that I can be a healer and bring healing to other people. Provide for me, not just so I can be comfortable, but that the overflow of your blessings in my life can provide for others and bring comfort to other people. Bless me so that I will not be a pain to other people, but I'll be a blessing to them instead. God wants to bless you, but he doesn't want you to be the end user of the blessing. He wants to bless you so you can be a blessing. He wants to pass to you a blessing so you can pass the blessing to somebody else. And I need to hurry here. Jabez, second thing in verse 10, he says, Jabez prayed for power. It's right there in verse 10. That your hand would be upon me. That your hand would be upon me. Jabez was not content to be like others. When it came to the power of God, he wanted more. He wanted more. I want you to know, Christians today, do not have to be powerless. Christians today do not have to be weak. Settle for powerless lives. I am convinced that when we begin to live as the Lord desires, we can expect him to put his hand on our lives. He puts his hand on our lives. Why is it that some people seem to have God all over them? All over them. Why is it that some people seem to be effective in whatever they do? Whatever they put their hand to. Why is it that some people seem to have power with God? Simply stated, they have believed God and he has placed his hand on their life. I love Psalm 27. I love it. I think about it often. Great passage of scripture. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Though the election doesn't go my way. Election goes whatever way, whatever you did. Everything's falling apart in my life. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? David wrote this psalm when he was going through a rough time in his life. There was chaos in the world everywhere. Disorder in his world. He was in danger physically, emotionally, spiritually. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Though a host encamp against me, of this I will be confident. This one thing I seek. This one thing that I've desired of the Lord. One thing I'm going to seek after. That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. For in the time of trouble, he will hide me. He'll be with me. He'll watch over me. David is saying here, enemies may attack, but I won't be afraid because here's what I'm really concerned about. Here's what I'm really seeking. I want to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Think about that. What he's saying is, I want to be in the presence of God. I want to be in the presence of God. In David's day, think about how this plays out here in Scripture. The house of Yahweh was a tent. A tent. And David wasn't a priest. He couldn't go in there. He couldn't go in there. Rather, David was a king. I mean, he probably had an awesome palace, an awesome place. So where is this desire coming from? He was a king. He had it all. What is it that we want more than anything else in our lives? What do we desire to have more than anything? What do we desire to be? And I hope that we can see that there is no better place than the Father's house. There's no better place than his temple. No better place than his presence. There's security, joy, and there is the Lord. There is the Lord. This one thing I seek. Bless me, Lord. Bless me, Lord. What is it like to be under God's hand, his power? The Lord is my strength and my salvation. Listen, when God is on your side, he will never let anything catch you by surprise. Your life is, I mean, you're not, you got God. You got God. He'll give you what the Bible calls a spirit of discernment. Spirit of discernment. As you look out around to see what's going on, so that you know who don't mean you no good. My mom used to say, when you feed him with a long-handled spoon. I never knew what that, I figured it out later. You take care of your business, I'll take care of my business, and I'm going to love you at a distance. I got to love you at a distance. God heard the prayer of Jabez, and he answered him by giving him all the things that he prayed for. Why? Why? God did it because he honors prayer that honors him. James 4 talks about this. He says, the reason you don't get your prayers answered, he says, because you're spending it on yourselves. Isn't that what it says? Yeah, James 4. You're not getting your prayers answered because you're spending it on yourselves. So that's why your prayers aren't answered. Petition is asking God to bless you so that you can be a blessing to somebody else. Think about it. And I close with this. I'm looking at this. It says, oh, that you would enlarge my territory. Help me, Lord, to have a greater influence for good. Oh, that your hand would be with me, that I could feel that I'm walking hand in hand with God, that I'm with God, with you, and that you're touching me, and you're empowering me, and you're in my life. Oh, that you would keep me from evil, from causing harm or causing pain to other people. Oh, that I may not cause pain. Change my identity from pain causer to the source of blessing to other people. What about your lives? What about your lives? Are you growing that way? Are you satisfied with where you're at right now? Are you satisfied with what you're doing and what you're being asked, what you're asking God for in your life? Let me remind you, the Lord is always waiting to make the necessary changes in our life. Always waiting for us. All that remains is for you to come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. And all the angst of life will pass. Let's pray together, and then I'll say one more thing, and then we'll have the group come up. Father, we're thankful for the Scriptures. And we're not, Lord, we're not talking about name it, claim it, prosperity. We're talking about being blessed of God so we can be a blessing because of Him to other people. We thank you for the power of Scripture that speaks to that again and again, because He wants us to walk with Him. And all the Scripture says when we walk with Him, we're clothed with Him, and we're in our right minds, and we're doing things that are pleasing to Him. And because we're doing things, Lord, that are pleasing to you, you bless us. So help us to be a blessing to other people as we have been blessed by you. This is our heart and this is our prayer. Amen. Let me say something just this morning, just in closing, about the election and whatnot. Republicans are spitting mad and Democrats are dancing in the streets. We've seen this before. I'm reminded of a story of an elderly gentleman who was sitting on a park bench. He was basking in the sun, and another elderly gentleman came and sat down next to him for a moment, and they looked at each other and sat there for the moment. They didn't speak to each other, but they just sat, and they stared straight ahead without looking at each other. And after a while, one of them heaved a big sigh, and the other jumped up immediately and says, "If you're going to talk about politics, I'm leaving." Storms, political storms, don't last forever. Neither Christians' political party is going to save the world in the end. Only Jesus is going to save the world. He is the hope of the world. That doesn't mean we're not to be involved in bettering our world, lifting up Christian principles. Many Christians are not only passionate about politics, but are involved in some level, and I think that's a good thing. We need to be involved in the system where we live, and yet at times we're played by politics. We're played by politics. Today is a day when the anger and the hostilities are beyond anything that I can ever remember in my life. I've been through from Eisenhower and the elections. Literally, it's like a war. Biden is right. It's a fight for the soul of our nation. That's right. It's an ideological war. It's a cultural war. It's hot. It's heated. And emotions are off the charts. Off the charts. We've fought wars before, and Tracy's talked some about that. We've struggled for our country and foreign lands, at home, abroad. Throughout our history, there has been bloodshed. I mean, passionately. So be passionate about your country. Wrestle with the issues in your country. But realize when you enter the battle, you're going to get shot at. You're going to get shot at. So, as one person said, put your big boy pants on. Also realize God's truth that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Take a long view of people. Take a long view of history. God is not a Democrat. God is not a Republican. We find in the Old Testament, God did not come to take sides. He came to take over. He came to take over. Tony Evans, I was listening to something he had to say. He says, God does not ride the backs of donkeys or elephants. If you're a Democrat, the best you can do is vote Democrat light, L-I-T-E. If you're Republican, the best you can do is vote Republican light, L-I-T-E. Because our job as Christians is to bring to both parties the L-I-G-H-T. Our job is to represent another king, another kingdom. 1 John says, this world is passing away, but those who do the will of God will abide forever. The grass withers and the flowers fade. I'll close with this. Evans gave this illustration. He says, when any football team, you all like football, most of you, football team plays, there's three teams to take the field. There's the home team and the visiting team, and they will never get along. One is going this way, and the other is going that way, and they are built to resist one another. And there is nothing you can do to put them on the same page. But then there's a third team. It's called the officials. This team of officials are on the field, but they're not of the field. They are in the middle of the chaos, but they don't belong to the chaos because they belong to another kingdom called the NFL. Their job is not to listen to the roar of the crowd, the boos, the cheers, or the screaming of the coaches and the players who are against each other because they've been handed a book. And because every decision they make on the field is to be reflected in the book that they've been handed to them from the kingdom that they represent. You and I belong to a kingdom. So there's passion on both sides. And it will play out. And when the dust settles, what? In Christ, you always win. You always win. God moves people. God moves nations. I started our Wednesday night Bible study on Wednesday night, and I said by saying, this election was rigged. This election was rigged. And it's true. It was rigged by God. But I want to be careful here because rigged carries the idea of dishonesty. And there's nothing dishonest about God. What I mean is this election was determined long before the election ever began. Long before these candidates were born. And we find this all through Scripture. Just one passage from Daniel 2 says, He controls the course of world events. He removes kings, He sets up other kings. Things are happening that we know are going to benefit the kingdom of God. God moves that way. Do all you can, but in the end, Jesus is King. King of kings, Lord of lords. If you voted the Bible, good. Whatever the results, let's see what God's up to. We'll see what God's up to. Philippians 4 says, for Christian people, be anxious for nothing, But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God, and the peace of God that passes understanding will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus our Lord. That's who we are as Christian people. God's in charge. And we're studying the book of Revelation. God's bringing this world someplace. There's reasons for things. God's taking this world someplace. And he's in control. Not us. He's in control. Let's pray. Father, we're thankful for the scriptures, for your goodness to us, for your presence here with us this morning, for the glorious truth of scripture that all through history we've seen kingdoms rise and kingdoms fall, but we've seen the people of God as steady people, faithful people, who said, this one thing I desire, one thing I request, that all the days of my life I will dwell in the house in the presence of God. So bless us, Lord. Bless us. Comfort us as only you can. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.